I said, are they ready to rock? David Dwork said he's ready to roll. Folks, on this episode of Miami Mic'd Up, I am pleased to welcome the duo that makes up the hockey show for Meadowlark Media. It is Roy Bellamy and David Dwork. David, of course, also works with WPLG and the Hockey News. Roy, the resident hockey expert at Meadowlark Media on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. Fellas, I'm really excited. I'm stoked to have you guys here for this Panthers-themed episode of Miami Mic'd Up because they are the best team in hockey. But before we get to hockey, I've got the same question for each of you. And Roy, we will start with you. What is something recently outside of work that has brought you joy?
Alcohol. I drink for a living. If I got paid to drink, I would be a very wealthy man right now. But I mean my family.
Yeah, that's like, normally the first answer.
Yeah, normally, unless of course you like alcohol like I do, then that's normally the second answer. So yeah. But yeah, I mean, Claire, my daughter is growing up so very nicely. She's so intelligent, smart. She's a Sagittarius, so you know she's out there running around trying to make friends and whatnot. So yeah, she's growing up really nicely. And of course, I need my wife, you know, and the family, the whole thing. So yeah, that's brought me joy.
I love it. Alcohol and of course family. David, I imagine that the answers are similar.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say rinse and repeat. I mean,
yeah, you're probably flipping the order on that one, though.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much just, you know, trying to get life done. You know, loving being around my family, being inebriated when I can. you know, it's just life is good right now. I mean, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. So when you ask that question, it's like, what does happen outside of work? Mm-hmm. But and when, you know, I guess I don't want to speak for Roy, but I think, you know, when you're lucky enough to do what we all are able to do, you know, it's kind of like work is okay. So, you know, life is a blessing right now. I'm just feeling grateful overall.
I do love that attitude. And I know both of you are being a little tongue in cheek with the alcohol and family part of it, although also very serious.
I mean, there's plenty of alcohol in my cheeks right now.
Yeah, sure. I think it's great. And that's why it's nice to be able to stop for a second and see what brings us joy outside of work, because we are fortunate enough to do something we're passionate about and cover these teams and these sports that we love. And so let's get right into that, because I think the two of you are as informed as it gets when it comes to the Florida Panthers. I love the way you guys break down the game, and I'm excited to kind of talk about a number of different factors here, because we just passed the trade deadline just a few days ago. Obviously, Tarasenko comes in for the Florida Panthers, but a number of other moves here. So alongside those other moves, and Roy, we'll start with you. What is it that this sort of aggressive trade deadline signals to you about Bill Zito and this Panthers front office?
Well, first of all, he's all in. Second of all, I think he's learned from the past mistakes from the last two seasons. He tried to go all in his first season and lost a lot of money in the salary cap the next season. Didn't do anything because he didn't have any money. Somehow made the Stanley Cup final. And now he has enough money to make a couple of moves. And now it's right down the middle. It seems to be right down the middle in all the moves that he's making. And it seems like these are genius moves, especially coming after the injuries of Aaron Ekblad and Evan Rodriguez. So we might see Kyle Pozo coming up in Dallas. So, yeah, I mean, we got good depth in the forward department right now. We're going to need a defenseman to come up, and I'm hoping Josh Maher gets that call. But yeah, I mean, he's made great moves this season. I think he's going to pay off.
Obviously, David, you know, Vladdy Tarasenko, the people know him and sort of his reputation. But with some of these other moves, you know, these other players that have come in, what are your thoughts on those guys and the roles that they can fill?
Well, I mean, Okposo is going to be nice just because it's one of the things that we talked about with this team all season is like, what do they need? Just because it seems like they fired on all cylinders. They've been doing everything that you could ask them to do in terms of what Paul Maurice does. And so it's just depth, like, you know, shore up what went wrong last year in the playoffs, which was basically guys got hurt. Like that was it. It wasn't even that they ran out of gas. It was just they literally got broken in half in terms of like Matthew Tkachuk and Aaron Ekblad. So, you know, these guys were really you know, they went through a lot. So this year, if, you know, injuries happen, which we know they're probably going to happen because it's sports and it's a very rough time in the playoffs. So with like guys like Kyle Okposo coming in, obviously you mentioned Vladimir Tarasenko, which it was just the trickle down effect with the depth in terms of what that does to the forward lines. And then he also got a Tobias Bjornfot off of waivers from Vegas, which was just another depth defenseman, which as we just see, as Roy mentioned, with Aaron Ekblad getting hurt, you know, he's going to be out for a couple weeks. So then you go to Josh Mahura, who played every single game last year, regular season and playoffs, but they've gotten so deep now that he can't really get into the lineup very often. So now he'll get to go in there and he'll get to show, hey, look, I'm still here. I can still do this. So it's just kind of an embarrassment of riches with this Panthers team, not to, you know, put it in a, you know, loose way, but they've just gotten so good at doing what Paul Maurice has asked them. And now Bill Zito is, you know, as Roy said, he's just gotten so good at doing what he does. I think it's just the law of averages for Panther fans. They suffered for so long that this is just, you know, all the comeuppance, and this is just them kind of coming around and say, all right, now it's our time.
Yeah, I mean, this team feels as loaded as any. I like hearing you use the term embarrassment of riches, because I was made fun of on Levitard Show for using that when it came to the Heat and their depth. And so I like, you know, two minds here in terms of looking at the phrasing. But, you know, you mentioned the depth, and one of the players who's been spectacular this season, and it sort of relates to this trade deadline, is Gustav Forsling, right? We're talking about contracts. Yeah. We're talking about an extension here for Forsling, 8 years. And this is a guy, he leads the NHL in plus minus by like a lot. I mean, a lot. It's pretty unbelievable how much he leads the NHL in plus minus by. But the way that you know, they've locked him up and the rest of this core for several years. And David, I'll come back to you here. You know, what do you think this says about sort of the Panthers' plans and their ability to keep this group together, you know, seemingly for almost the next decade?
I think that's the beauty in what Bill Zito and his staff have done in the way that they wanted to construct this roster, because not only is it talent filled, but it's also based on the character of the players. And that's why they've got such a good room. And that's why these guys are all wanting to continue to work together. That's why some of them may be taking a little bit less money off the top of their deals in order for that money to go back into the team, which, as you just kind of referenced, the big three. Yeah. That's what they did back then, is like they had the three biggest, you know, three of the biggest stars in the NBA, and they all took less money to make the team good. And what did they do? They had four straight finals, two back-to-back championships. So, you know, the Panthers, any piece of that would be amazing for this team, but that's what's going on. And that's what Bill Zito's done, is he's got these guys that are just good people, and not just in the locker room, but also when you talk about good people, the staff that Bill Zito's put together, that he and Matt Caldwell have kind of built in the front office, like they've really done a great job of identifying talent that not only just good players and good character, but also that fit what Paul Maurice and his staff are trying to do. And I feel like I'm kind of going off all over the place here, but it all kind of comes together.
It matters.
And when talking about how the Panthers have kind of brought it all together from front office to coaching staff to the locker room. And to answer your question, finally, in terms of free agency, there has been like this plan that they've had to kind of keep the band together, because so many guys are coming off the books this year. They did just re-sign Gus Forsling, but they still have Brendan Montour, Sam Reinhart, and others to deal with as well. So it's just there's a lot there. But then also, with all the guys coming off the books, they're going into an incredibly fruitful free agency class with a lot of flexibility and money to spend. So it's really kind of like, what exactly does Zito and his staff want to put together in terms of the free agency? But I do know that there is a plan where they want to bring Montour, they want to bring Reinhart back as well. And there is a way that they can do that and have money to spend. So it's just really an exciting time right now.
Yeah, it has to be. And Roy, when we look at Forsling in particular, right, this guy signs an extension to be here for the next 8 years. What is it that makes him such a dynamic player that the Panthers needed to make sure, hey, this is one of our sort of stalwarts moving forward?
I mean, you look at him defensively, like he's everywhere. Like you see him in the back check, he's able to get back and stop any odd man rush or breakaway. He's able to stop that. He's good with his stick. He has a good shot. So, yeah, I mean, they needed to keep him. They need to keep him on both sides of the puck because he's really good. He's pretty much usurped Aaron Ekblad as number one defenseman. So, yeah, they have to keep him. They got him young. They're going to keep him while he's hot, and hopefully he'll last all the way through his contract.
Well, one of the guys you just mentioned, David, is Sam Reinhart. And the season he's had has been, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. It's been one of the best goal-scoring seasons in the history of this franchise. For any player not named Pavel Bure, it is the greatest scoring season for any Florida Panther. I mean, he just surpassed Carter Verhaeghe and Matthew Tkachuk and their scoring outputs from last year. It seems like things have been going pretty well for the Panthers. But what do you think, Roy, unlocked this level of play from Sam Reinhart this season that's made him so special?
Well, I guess what helped is the power play. I mean, he leads the league in power play goals. He's able to get to his little office in the high slot and able to get a one-time off and beat the goaltender. I mean, that's just a pure joy to watch. So he's definitely helped the Panthers become, sixth in the league now? Sixth in the league in the power play, I believe, top five.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really helped out the power play there. And he's just able to get in position. He's got Alexander Barkov and can easily float off a saucer pass to him, which he can connect with. And now Vladimir Tarasenko late in the season. I mean, he's got a lot of goals to get Sam Reinhart.
And David, you know, with Reinhart, obviously, you know, 45 goals now, headed toward 50. Playing alongside Barkov, I think sometimes as much as Barkov is appreciated around the league, he's still somehow underrated and underappreciated for all of the things that he can do. So how much does he have to do with Reinhart being able to sort of unlock this premier goal scoring talent?
It's funny because Paul Maurice has kind of talked about how over the last few years that the Panthers have tried to put Barkov and Reinhart together and it never really clicked, but they knew that it should click. Like all the reasons and all the ingredients were there of like this beautiful symphony that should be there, and it just never kind of found its footing. And then this year it just took off like crazy because like, and that's another thing Maurice said, I think last week was, we don't talk about Barkov's season that much because maybe he isn't having the points kind of season, but he's still over a point per game player right now. He's still got 63 points, and I think in 59 games that he's played. And it's just, right? Like, it's
crazy.
Well, we aren't talking about Barkov at all just because Reinhart is having this unbelievable season. He's got 45 goals. There's still 20 whatever games left. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. But you talk to the two of them about it, and the, you know, anytime you talk to Reinhart about Barkov or vice versa, they are so quick to just compliment the other player. He's one of the best in the world at what he does. He makes my job so easy. Because these are both guys that while we're talking about their offense and the numbers that they put up, they are just as good 200 feet at the other end of the ice and just as impactful for the team, which is why Reinhart and Barkov are such valuable players. And you put them together on the same line and have them taking off the way they have, it's been, like you said, it's just been crazy to see.
It's so special to watch this team because there really are so many different quote unquote duos that you could look at and be like, man, the way these guys play off each other, the way those guys play off each other, the way those guys play off of each other. And it's been so special to see them sort of untap the best in each other. But you mentioned sort of both sides of the equation here, and it leads me right to Sergei Bobrovsky. Safe to say he's having the greatest season he's had in a Panthers uniform. He leads the league in goals against per game, you know, amongst qualified goalies. How much of this is Bob taking his game to another level? How much of this is the Panthers defense helping him out? Do we need to make a pie chart of these percentages? You know, how do we do this, David?
I think a lot of it has to do with the way that the Panthers are playing in front of him. I think Bob's confidence is probably off the charts right now in terms of his time with the Panthers. And you can't really ever question the work that he's put in and the way that he's played. I think he's sharpened up in a lot of ways in terms of the way he challenges shots. But really, the way that the Panthers play in front of him defensively, they clean up so many of the second and third chance opportunities that were not getting cleaned up in previous years. And that's a lot of the things that we would harp on Bob would be about the rebounds, because a lot of the goals would be off of that. He hasn't necessarily cleaned up the rebound control issue, but the Panthers have been so amazing cleaning things up in front of him. It's not that dissimilar to when Bob was in Columbus playing under Torts and winning Vezina trophies and putting up these amazing numbers on a very defensive-minded Columbus team. I think the difference in Florida is that while they can be very defensive-minded, they've also got these amazingly talented guys that put in the buck in the net. And it's, you know, we're talking about making a beautiful music together. But yeah, with Bob, I mean, year five, you'd have to argue that he's ascended incredibly the last couple of years. It's almost like the more they've gotten into and become a playoff team, it's like lit the fire in Bob. But yeah, he's been incredibly consistent, and we used to talk about him so much, and now we don't talk about him at all just because he's been so reliable.
No, you mentioned being a playoff team and that sort of lighting the fire. And Roy, I mean, how much has your trust changed in going into this postseason and knowing, hey, Sergei Bobrovsky is that guy? Like, I think we were not having that type of conversation going into this part of the year last year.
No, I mean, Sergei Bobrovsky's had his struggles you know, early in his Panthers career. I mean, there was a lot of distrust going into prior playoff seasons, but right now, I mean, he and Anthony Stolarz are so on fire. They're like the best 1-2 combo in the league right now as far as goaltending. And we all know that Anthony Stolarz is just sitting there right now. He's got that spot for Spencer Knight, who's going to end up coming back up sometime in the near future. Mm-hmm. But right now, Anthony Stolarz and Sergei Bobrovsky, I'm very happy with our tandem going into the playoffs. I absolutely trust them, especially with the Panthers defense in front of them.
Yeah, it's been again, I keep saying every time you guys answer a question, I keep going, yeah, it's been really fun to watch because this team is as entertaining as any, and they are literally at the moment the best team in hockey. And so I haven't mentioned Barkov, really. I haven't mentioned Tkachuk. We've gone this far into this conversation without Matthew Tkachuk. For the layman, I'm going to have each of you give me two things I haven't mentioned, whether that's a player, whether that's a style of play, whether that's coaching, anything with this Florida Panthers team. Roy, we're going to start with you. Two facts about this team that the average fan might not realize that's made them the best team in the NHL thus far.
I'm going to go with style of play. 2 years ago, when they won a President's Trophy, their offense was basically transition. I mean, they're coming off defense, and it was a whole bunch of Ironman rushes that led to breakaway goals. This season has been all about the forecheck and goals off of rebounds. Panthers are high up there right now in the league with second chance goals. So, like, I would say that style of play, especially going into the playoffs, that's really important to have a good forecheck, to maintain the puck in your own zone, to take the puck away from the defense, to set up shots, to get somebody in front of the net, the screen, and to get rebounds and to score goals. That's going to be huge because it's going to be about a game of bounces going into the playoffs. I'll get back to you with my second one.
All right, well, then we'll let David go. That's perfect. We'll let David go before you get to your second one. So, David, why don't you give me one? We'll go back to Roy, and we'll go back to you.
Fair enough. I always think about the coaching staff and just the hours that they put in, because we don't really talk about them that much. They're not made available to speak to the media. But between Jamie Compan and the work that he puts in on the power play, Sylvain Lefebvre, what he does with the defense, we do hear about Rob Tallis a lot just because of, you know, the goalie excellence department and Roberto Luongo who helps out with that. But Robbie Tallis, who works with Bob and Stolarz tirelessly, like anybody that sees the practices at Panthers knows that they're working in between drills. He's very communicative with them. So I just think, you know, when you talk about layers of this team success, the countless hours that staff puts in, that they're right back in their office between periods and after games watching footage, you know, they're early before practices the next day, watching, breaking things down. What do they want to talk to their guys about? So that's something that doesn't really get talked about, but those guys really do a good job with this team.
All right, Roy, factor number two from you.
Factor number two is Matthew Tkachuk, because
there he is.
Prior to January 2nd, his offense wasn't really there. I mean, it was a lot of assists, but he wasn't really scoring goals. But since January 2nd, the first game of the calendar year, he has pretty much led the league in points. Like, straight up led the league in points. So his offense has gotten back. He's now scoring goals. He's there in the office. He's there screening. He's on the power play, running around. So, yeah, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk going into the playoffs, that's going to be a huge monster, especially on that second line. I mean, they had Nick Cousins on the second line with Sam Bennett, and you saw a whole bunch of angry opponents against them, and they were pissing everybody off. I mean, it was a sight to see, but Nick Cousins is not going to be on the second line, I don't believe, so that's going to be a bit of a change, but it's him and Sam Bennett. I think, I mean, they got some of the best top six forwards in the league right now, so Matthew Tkachuk's going to be a number one factor. Well, not number one factor, he's going to be a factor going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, to think we've gone this far into this conversation and we're not talking about a guy who, gosh, I mean, at this time last year was helping to lead the Panthers to the postseason, in which he had one of the craziest postseasons I've ever seen from any individual hockey player. I mean, it was just, again, it's the type of thing that made you want to watch every second of every single game. David, what about you here?
So I was trying to come up with what doesn't get talked about enough in my head, and I kind of couldn't settle on something. So I'm just going to quick fire a couple of
Do
things at
it.
you.
Yeah, please.
So first, the turning of a corner of Anton Lundell, the confidence that he's been showing after that few games that he was paired up with Sam Reinhart, he
That's
really seemed
great.
to spark him. So that Anton Lundell and him and E2 look great together. And then just the fourth line, the way that we talked about Kevin Stenlund as a signing, what he's done to the penalty kill and to solidify the fourth line. I think he had a shorthanded goal in their last game. Brian Lomberg, Jonah Gadavich being a skilled guy that'll beat the crap out of you. Now you add Kyle Okposo to that bottom six as well. And then also when you talk about, Bill Zito and the moves he made, Nico Mikkola, like that's a value defensive guy that you got 3 years and he has been shut down amazing and he throws in with the offense. Dmitry Kulikov, who a lot of people maybe had given up on in this league, having a resurgent year for the Panthers. So there's just a lot of things that maybe don't get talked about just because there's so many exciting things with this team. But really, just you could just throw darts at a board and hit on things that the Panthers are like really, you didn't, wow, they're re that really worked out for them.
It's re that's such a great point, the way that this is when you know a franchise is kind of in its bag, man. Like, you know that everything is sort of in sync is when almost every single move and decision that you make seems to work out for what, like a year and a half now, 2 years of each and every guy that you bring in, each and every decision that you're making from a coaching standpoint. It's been really nice to see that. And so we're what? Little over a month away from getting toward the NHL postseason. So I'm going to ask each of you here as we approach this final stretch of the regular season. And obviously, some people want the President's Trophy, some people don't. Some people care whether or not you're the best team in the regular season, some people don't. I'm going to say irrelevant. My question is, as we head down the stretch, what's the biggest thing you'd like to see this Panthers team focus on and get right before we head toward the postseason? Roy, I'll start with you.
Oh, that's an easy thing. That's rest. I mean, you got to figure out that this team's played deep into June last season. Not a lot of rest going into the offseason, going into training camp. And Paul Maurice's training camp was not easy. It was hard. So I would like to see the starters get a little bit of rest. Hopefully they can call up some of the players from Charlotte and get some playing time, like Mackie and everybody else down there. But I would like to see the guys get a little bit of rest.
That's a good one. David?
Yeah, I mean, just health, obviously. So that kind of goes in with what
Yeah,
Roy was
health and
saying.
rest.
But no, aside from that, I think what the Panthers would like to see is for them to continue to find ways to play their style of hockey in different situations, which they're going to be challenged in a lot of different ways over the next 20 whatever games are left in the season, because they're going to be playing teams that are really desperate to get into the playoffs. They're going to be playing teams that are just trying to find their footing as the Panthers are looking to find their way. They're going to be playing teams that don't give a bleep about what they're doing. They're just trying to play spoiler. And so I think it's just a matter of tightening the screws at making sure that they can kind of play their game in different situations and being as prepared as possible for the playoffs.
Guys, you got me fired up. If I wasn't fired up coming into this conversation, I'm like so ready for the rest of this season. I can't wait to watch it all on Bally Sports, by the way. You can watch that and coverage up through the first round of the playoffs. But before I let you guys go, I mentioned it right at the top, the hockey show. Obviously, I'm listening every single Friday to the work that you guys are doing, but would love if you guys gave the elevator pitch on getting people to listen and understanding what it is that you're doing every single Friday. It runs, it's not the post game show, it's the hockey show, but it often runs as the post game show on Friday. So let's just make it abundantly clear. There's post game work that these guys do, and this is a recurring bit from Lepitar, but there's post game work that Roy does after games. That's after the game with Roy. That's a post game show. But
As
the
well as
quote
David, by
unquote post game show on Fridays is the hockey show. So I want to
the way.
talk about all of the work that you guys are doing. Roy, David, you guys take it away.
I mean, the hockey show, like, we come in and we talk hockey. Like,
Ah,
especially we
perfect.
recap the Panthers on a weekly basis, and we've had excellent guests join
Yeah.
us to talk about league-wide stuff. So if you're a hockey fan, I would say, hey, give us a try. We are the hockey offering on Levitan and Friends, and David is the co-host with me, and we try.
Yeah, we're just lucky and blessed to have the opportunity to bring you guys some hockey love out there, because it's something that Roy and I, we've been friends for a really long time. And one of the constants over the years has been our love of hockey and following it over the years. So now that we kind of can take our passion and share it with you guys, it's been a blessing so far. We've, like Roy said, we've had some truly, truly awesome guests that have, you know, I think what we really try to do, other than bitching and moaning a little bit, is, you know, kind of spread some knowledge about the sport, some things that we like to talk about. And our guests have really done a great job of helping us do that. So it's been awesome. I hope you guys are enjoying it, that listen, because Roy and I think we're having a good time bringing you the content.
Let me give a final endorsement here in all seriousness. Nobody more informed on this team than David and Roy when it comes to the Panthers. Always enjoy what they do off the top on the Panthers, because that will be informative for you guys. And then on the back end, when they talk about their guests, I mean, these are some of the biggest names in hockey media. They have them on every week and get to talk about things from a national perspective. So if you like what you've heard today when it comes to the Florida Panthers, you'll want to hear what they're doing. But also, if you're a hockey fan in general, you will want to listen to The Hockey Show and follow everything these guys are doing. It's at David Dwork on the artist formerly known as Twitter. It's at Roy Belly on the artist formerly known as Twitter. Guys, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Miami Mic'd Up. Excited to maybe have you both back come Panthers postseason. So let's keep that locked and loaded and ready to go.
Yeah, we'll be back next week.